My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Ali's busy making tracks. You're stuck with these four dumb hacks. Jamie, Cat, Jim, and Sam. We will do the best we can. Not the Mama Cookies Party. Mama Cookies Radio. Mama Cookies Party.
So,
all right.
Yeah, all right.
New theme song.
Digging it.
You know, this week we're
digging it hard.
We're only 3 for 4, but the song is still great.
Yeah.
We're down a Chad, but you know what? He stays in the song.
I love
it.
How you say you're just going to do the best you can. It's just
that's
so,
yeah.
So
we don't lie. We just do the best we can.
Jack, you've met the 3 to 4 guys who usually do the show. I think we're pretty earnest fellows.
We do the best we can. We really do.
Yeah.
You know,
or like
we're not
at least 80% of that.
We're not the best, but we ain't the worst.
Yeah.
Luckily, we have this awesome library of music that comes out of Mama Coco's Funky Kitchen recording studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York City, America. That you know, we get to play, and that makes this show awesome. So
yeah,
it's really all about the music. It's not about us talking,
or as Brandon Boyd would say, super duper,
super super cool.
This is Roberta's Radio. Yeah. Brandon Boyd.
So can I play a new song about my two bosses?
Yeah, you got the Regrets.
Oh yeah,
nice. Yeah.
Okay, so this is a band called the Regrets. Two of the people, Olivia and Stuart, run the all ages DIY venue Aviv, where I happen to work. Where
I'll
be working
this weekend.
Working
they pay
lady,
their bands.
Where I'll be working later tonight, actually. But so this is brand new. This is a world debut. This is the debut single recorded at Mama Coco's by the Regrets, and it's called Enough.
Blam.
Okay, treat it right off.
Hey, that's the Regret. So
great
that,
band.
Yeah,
that
it's like
was short and
great,
sweet.
Great Blondie vibe on that. I think.
Yeah, Blondie. I hear a little feelies in the rhythm section. Mm. A little bit of that, you know,
crazy
that bounce,
rhythm.
That crazy rhythm.
I hear a lot
of the
angst
feelies
in the lyrics of "Cut your dick right off."
I think this band rules. I can't wait for this to drop.
This is why I trust Aviv, because it's like if the people who are booking the bands when they go make music, it sounds like that. Like, okay, I can get behind that.
Definitely.
Mazel tov to the Regrets.
Yeah.
On their new single.
Mazel. Yeah. Mazel. regrets.
Yeah, so they have a whole EP of that stuff that's going to be dropping very soon, but that's the first single. That's you can actually find that now on the regretsbandcamp.com.
And am I wrong in thinking that their entire EP will be about 7 minutes based on the length of that?
It's not very long.
The other songs
yeah.
are a little bit longer. That song is a minute 16.
Oh, no, I've heard the record.
So
facetiously.
The other songs are like about 2.5 minutes. So.
But that's a good band, you know?
Oh, no, it's great.
If you can't say it in 2.5 minutes, it's possible that you can't say it.
Right.
That's the thing about songwriting. You can do verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, and a lot of the great compositions are that and no more.
Look at the Ramones.
Yeah, Ramones, Guided by Voices, the Pixies, the early Beatles. Buddy Holly's songs are insanely short.
Yeah.
But they seem like epics.
Yeah.
You know, they seem like they build up this fury.
They all have
2 minutes
long. They all have two verses, a chorus and a bridge, but they're like a minute and a half long.
And the bridge is always fucking great.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
Buddy Holly, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
We are. But some people we do know are playing a show this weekend. We should tell the people about that. The show on Saturday.
The Big Bopper. No. Special guest, the Big Bopper.
Would be
Hello,
a
baby.
And Richie
Nolan, Ballard. Darling.
They're flying. I hear they're flying in from Iowa.
Ooh. Ooh. I think that's our first, dead joke on the show.
Yeah. Too soon? That's...
Okay, no.
It was 1959. We're allowed to check.
I feel like maybe Dan McLean has a big bopperness to him.
Yeah, I feel like if Dan McLean's listening to this, he's cussing at us right now.
Somewhere. Bopper.
Drunkenly ran.
Anyway.
Today.
Saturday, June 6th, Nola Darling in...
Chelsea.
In Chelsea.
I don't want to go to Chelsea.
So,
who
do we got at this one? We have, would you pronounce it properly, please?
Damn Fino.
With Smokey Joe Merkley.
Smokey Joe Merkley. it looks like Damn Fino, but it's supposed to be a pun on Damn If I Know. So it's Damn Fino.
This is all news to, some guy who's been listening to the band for a good year and a half, 2 years, but I'm loving it.
It's really having a pun in the band name, man.
Noise, no ice. Yeah.
So Thai Tribe is playing that show, I believe?
Oh, Thai Tribe. Those dudes are ferocious.
Yeah, those guys are awesome.
Who else we got?
Jesse Turrets.
Jesse Turrets with his
sweet
new...
Jesse Turrets.
With his new
Solo
cinematic
no more,
sound.
With his new, with his new Jesse Turrets big band.
The voice of an angel, the heart of a lion, Jesse Turrets.
and a big band now, which should be utterly
the
awesome.
The hide of a zebra.
And then the Lewinskys, right?
Yeah.
Who you're probably all sick of hearing about, but
Coming off their three-hour set last weekend at Aviv, where they played every song known to man. And
then, did they really play 3 hours?
No, it wasn't three hours. It was pretty fucking long.
I've played 3 hours before.
Good slash bad for you, because I think very few people really were checking in after the first hour and a half.
The last Ghost Pal set, I think, was 3 hours.
That's a different thing. Oh, yeah. That's end of an era.
I actually love long sets. I like to play a long time. I'm in the Bruce school of Keep It Rockin' Forever.
I don't know.
All your covers. Play every song you know.
I'll go back to what we were saying about the regrets. I think for sets, if you can come on and convince me in 30 minutes that you're a good rock band, I'm much more inclined to go check out later your hour.
No, that is the reasonable thing to do. However, however, there is an art form of getting on stage with your band, playing your set, seeing what happens, seeing what you feel in the crowd out, going one place, going another place, play a stupid cover, do something bad, do something really good, take a request. That's rock and roll.
Or you could be like the Velvet Underground or Sonic Youth and just come out and play one song for 12 minutes.
Or you could do that.
You could do that too.
But you literally have to be the Velvet Underground and Sonic
you
Youth
cannot
for
be,
me to tolerate that.
You cannot be the Grateful Dead and do that, because then we'll walk out.
The dead are dead, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's a big difference between improvising and noodling.
Yes.
And I'm not a noodler.
Well, the Velvet Underground and Sonic Youth are transgressive. Grateful Dead and Fish are mellow. They're bringing you a mellow vibe. It's different when oral violence through dips and, ups and downs is one, that's different to me.
Jamie, what did the Grateful Dead fan say when he ran out of drugs?
This music sucks.
Nice. Well, let's hear some music that
all
doesn't
right.
suck.
So I'm going to tell you a story. So back in the early 80s, I met this kid who was literally a kid, Joe Merkley, who had a band back then, a jangle pop band. And we became friends. And then he went and he got married and he had a kid. And then he got divorced. And then he had to tell his kid that he was getting divorced. And then he wrote this album as Damfino. So this is what this song is about. So it's an incredibly, I don't know if any of you listening are children of divorce. I'm fortunately not. But I can't think of anything worse than having bringing your kid into the room and saying, Mommy and Daddy aren't going to be living together anymore. But Joe had to do that, and he wrote this song about it. It's an incredibly emotional song, and it's called, and it was recorded at Mama Coco's Monkey Kitchen.
Well, and it's shit, called, let's hear it, man.
It's called Heaven Underfoot.
Oh, fuck me.
You can't hear my heart quite as ashes
he's falling.
Not like at the start we were eagles soaring. The callous step once undertaken came to bear. I'm dirt on the one who least deserved to feel it there. There were no words to give voice to what went on inside. The saddest thing I'd ever seen was a look in our boy's eyes.
Underfoot
that was fucking excellent.
Oh, my Fino. Gut just got punched so
oh,
hard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole album is like that. It's like really rude song titles. Like, what did you do with my wife? And who is this woman? Like, oh,
yeah, I know. They're great.
Yeah, it's just horrible. Really cathartic album.
It's really keeping it real. It's talking about it, real shit, real talk.
It really is. It really
is.
Yeah.
No, it's not about no Tolkien.
Joe, don't
here.
Fuck around. It's not like I saw a cute girl. It's like, no, she ripped my heart out and now I'm picking up the pieces.
Yeah. that's rock and roll.
Oh,
no,
yeah, dude. I mean, like, one day I'm going to get to the Merkley level. Fingers crossed.
You made me cry.
Yeah.
You need to have your heart ripped out first, so.
Well, a few more times wouldn't hurt. You know? All right. Anyway, heart ripping out aside, Jamie, I want to talk about what you just said right before we came back. I won't say which band specifically, but you were saying that somebody gave you a CD and you just didn't listen to it. What? And I asked this because, like, the Dregs are putting out a record, and I was thinking about making, like, some promo CDs, not for selling, but just, like, for giving out to...
Well, when the Brooklyn Walt releases a CD, we have it down to a science where we produce a CD that costs less than $1, whole thing.
Please share these
So,
secrets.
Basically, we get these really cheap plastic sleeves, and then we get little cardboard squares, you know, an insert. We have, like, a, you know... And then we just burn CDs, and Evan has, like, the technology to burn a cover on a CD. And then so we can just throw CDs at people and just give them away. Or so we sell them for $3, I think. But, like, I don't listen to CDs. I don't even have a tape deck. So people are constantly giving me their band's CDs and their band's tapes, and they literally go in a crate. Because basically I only listen to vinyl. I sound like such a fucking snob right
now. No, you don't.
But I only listen to vinyl records. And then basically if I'm... listening to something else, I'm like, if someone sends me, like, let's say you send me a Facebook message, here's a new band, you know, check this out. I basically have to stop my record, listen to that, and then I'll put the record back
on. I feel like what you just described, at least, like, you know, with persons like yourself, like friends of mine who I'm just trying to, like, share new good music with, like, that's usually, like, the way, for me at least, it happens the most now, is just like, hey, let me, hit, you know, click on Jamie and send him a song. Like, are we just done giving people CDs? Like, what's Jim?
Speaking as the editor of a music blog, I mean, we get just a handful of actual press CDs now, and most of them, and I'm sorry to say this, are really awful.
Yeah, I mean, I've reviewed some of these.
They tend to be like 45-year-old singer-songwriters from Iowa releasing their sixth album that no one's ever heard of, that still press CDs and mail them out to people. Every once in a while, we'll get a good one. But most of the time, it's just sort of blatantly promotional giveaway crap.
Well, this is a broken system here, ultimately.
Yeah.
Because they're not... It's so hard. I remember when I started writing for Jersey Beat, and you sent me four CDs that you obviously did not want to listen to yourself. And it was like, one was like a surf band, and that was probably the least bad one. And one was like a stoner, female-fronted stoner metal. And one was like a sort of Dictators-type punk band. And then I had to write four bad reviews. So it's like, if we're going to go by the circle here, it's like people are spending money to make physical copies of bad records that are being sent. Yeah. And then it's like, you don't even want to give the bad review. It sucks because I tried to write for other people too, and they don't like when I do a bad review. You know what I mean?
Because
they want to further this dying industry by telling you something's good, but, you know, it's just hard.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't do anyone any good to write a bad review of a struggling band no one's ever heard of. Just let them be unheard of. When a band that people actually like, that have done good work, that people are going to run out and spend money on, releases something awful, like Weezer has done a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Or a band of that, you know. Then I think you can write. Or let's say Yeezus or something like that, where everyone in the world rushes out to embrace and say is the best thing ever. If you have an intelligent contrary opinion, I think it's okay to share that. But yeah, I agree. I think bad reviews have become almost a thing of the past for exactly.
Yeah, I'd love to hear a bad review of my music. I
almost never write bad reviews anymore because I pretty much only save the stuff that I'm really enthusiastic about to write about.
I know, because we want to, because it's like there's an agency for, you know, the critic to say what they want. But also, yeah, we want to promote people, and people are having a hard enough time promoting themselves. But
also, see, your first batch of CDs is not a fair sample, because I have never in 33 years of starting when I was a little tiny fanzine, if someone comes up to me and says, I'd like to write for you, I have never said no. I'll always give them an opportunity. Of those people, a good two-thirds never write anything. So your first batch of stuff to write about is generally crap, and if you hand that in, then you start getting the good stuff.
Right, right.
So that first batch wasn't – but since then, I kind of pick and choose for you. I try and find things that I think you're going to like, right?
Yeah, it's a tough thing, though, because, like, in order for this music to be great, it needs to be criticized.
Right.
You know – but it just everything is just okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's this new school of thought called this new Poptimist school of thought where you're basically supposed to like everything,
right?
Including Taylor Swift and Demi Lovato.
Well, I happen to like Taylor Swift.
Well, I actually don't dislike Taylor Swift, but
it's because she rules,
right? But it's just like I don't know if you should treat everything that Radio Disney plays with the same gravitas that you should treat something by a really hardworking, interesting.
Well, it's good to have an open mind, but we should have a, you know, if we expect quality, we should bring a critical mind.
I don't think it's fair for us to expect quality. I think we need to like demand quality. I think that's why
But the industry would do better. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's why I think we're seeing that just not in rock music. Like, I think, like, hip-hop and R&B, like, in the last two or three years, like, you've heard so many different kinds of records coming out, like, whether it's Kendrick Lamar's, like, second major LP that just deals with, like, the black experience in America in 2014, 2015. Like, you have the socially conscious music and, like, more challenging music. It's just not coming through in the specific genre that I guess we make.
Well, but though every genre is guilty of that. When gangster rap hit really big, how many awful derivative gangster rap CDs flooded the market? Just like after Nirvana sold 10 million records.
Well, yeah.
How many bad guitar bands were there?
But that's like that's still happening in Nirvana, whereas like at least what I've been observing, like, you know, like the frickin' the fact that people who listen to Taylor Swift will also listen to Robert Glasper now. Mm. I feel like that says a lot for just like the public sort of taste in like interesting, more complex music.
Well, the fact that most people discover new music today on Spotify or I know people who just sit in front of YouTube all day.
Guilty of that sometimes.
You know, and watch. And they're not even real videos. They're just lyric videos. They're just someone playing the song on YouTube.
That does suck.
And people will discover it. And it almost returns us to the days of 60s AM radio, when you turn the radio on and you would hear the Beatles and the Supremes and the Who and, you know, Jimi Hendrix and Curtis Mayfield, whatever, you know, like a little bit of everything. If it was a hit record, it would get played on the radio,
right,
regardless of what it sounded like.
Right, because the format the more conscious selling records became, it's like the more it's like, here's adult contemporary format, which is like Sting and Sheryl Crow. And then here's like, you know, the heavy alternative format with Godsmack or something, you know.
Right. That was the trap that FM radio fell into.
But I think that ultimately now it's like pop music all sounds like each other because it's all stuck in the same marginalia. To me, it's like the literal aesthetic sound. Like I think around the time that the Black Eyed Peas. To me, the Black Eyed Peas, like, they were a regular rap group. They were like a conscious rap group, basically a De La Soul or Tribe Called Quest ripoff. And then they decided to release these records. Like, let's get retarded and we're going to have a good night tonight or whatever, where they basically just have decided to, like, just stick different elements of certain types of hit songs in one mega hit. So it's like, okay, here's a few bars of rap. Here's a lady singing. Here's a guitar for a second. Here's a political message.
No, you're right.
You know,
you're
here's
exactly
a funny
right.
part. And but it's not like these aren't musical movements, you know, exactly.
Those aren't, I don't think. I guess,
it's just very middle ground.
I guess I was just referring more specifically, like, to how, like, I couldn't tell you guys, like, when the last time I heard, like, a great rock or, like, rock and roll album by, like, a new band was that I was just like, this has got to be the record that, like, for me is going to define, like, these 5 to 10 years in music. Like, I don't know when that hasn't... I've missed that.
No, I haven't heard a record like that since I was a teenager, probably.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just fucked up. I guess that's got me on this whole kick.
Maybe only teenagers hear that kind of music.
Maybe only teenagers. Yeah, maybe.
Does that music stop happening?
Maybe by the time you get to be, you know, in your mid-20s, you've become so jaded or cynical.
Is it like
you've just heard so much.
I mean, it could be that, like, at this point in my life, like, I play a show a week and I hear 10 bands a week. And, you know, maybe it's just that. It's
maybe
possible.
It's just what, as Chris Rock once put it, whatever music was playing when you first started getting laid, that's the music you're going to like for the rest of your life. There could be something to say for that. I don't know. What do you think, iPod?
Let's hear some lovemaking music. How about?
Ooh, yeah.
This is another band that's playing Saturday, June 6th, and it's a band that was around in the original days of Mama Coco's that we haven't heard from in quite a while. It's a duo, and they're called Dr. Fate. But they're coming back. They're on the comeback.
They're going to have a completely different sound than what you hear now.
I've never heard them before, so I'm going to have a gut reaction.
I have this
band
on my iPod. I don't remember what it sounds like.
Emilio plays drums.
So, okay.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
I got Jamie on board with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Emilio! What up?
Well, let's see what it sounds like.
There's a show. The thread to all that's been tethered in my head. Surprised that I'm alive until I'm dead.
Nice.
That was good. All right, Dr. Fate. Yeah. I critically give that my seal of approval.
I enjoyed the
vibe. I enjoyed it.
That was
it was
the
good.
Shell. I heard the room. It sounded like a big room.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff for Oliver's recording lately, though, sounds like it's in a big room. Like,
but that's from the basement. That's from the old spot.
Right, I know.
So boing.
It sounded good.
We're about to get since
we're on Heritage Radio, which is basically a food network, I wanted to bring up a food topic.
Let's talk.
Okay, so Sam and I are kind of foodies.
We eat human meat.
And we know that, Jamie, you're kind of domestically challenged in the kitchen.
That's not true. I'm an excellent
Jamie
cook.
Jamie made me tortellini when I was at his house. It was pretty good.
I'm a strong cook.
It had
cook.
Turkey in it, but like, right. Whatever, you know, make do.
Well, I brought you something the next time you want to cook.
Okay.
Yeah, so here.
Oh, this is...
Whoa!
I know. This is...
This is a cock-flavored soup mix from the Grace Company, but it's authentic Jamaican, which is awesome, and has a picture of a rooster, a cock on it. This is sick. Thank you. Is this like a British thing?
It must be a Jamaican thing.
I guess. Let me take a look at that.
Lord of mercy.
I'm not going to do patois on the radio, but.
Yeah, maybe don't.
I'm not going to do
Remember
that.
Remember when we had Chad Bourne be interviewed as Bob Marley?
Yeah.
I was not here for that.
No, it was so funny. I was just thinking about that today.
Yeah, we don't want to do that again.
I was
a kid.
This is for curry, guys. This is like for curry soup.
Sick. I'm going to make an awesome curry.
Oh, that's going to be lovely. Yeah.
I'll bring some in Tupperware.
I brought Oliver 5 things of Tupperware curry for his birthday. I don't know if you were in a town. Neither of you guys were fucking there. I brought him, literally, I spent the whole day making him a giant pot of curry. And that was my birthday present to Oliver Ignatius. Because he, every day, every time he's in the fucking studio, that dude orders like chicken tikka masala or a comparable curry dish.
Yeah, he likes the Indian food.
And I think I saved him like $75. So
awesome.
That's sick.
I'm happy about that.
When I was a kid, my grandmother used to buy something called capons, which are castrated roosters. Yeah. And they're tough as heck. But they're really good to boil for soup. She used to make chicken stock with them. So I guess in Jamaica, they boil the roosters and they call it cock soup.
They come to boil the rooster.
Yeah. Nice, thank you.
That's butt rock right there.
And fuck you, Sam. Fuck you. We should hear another tune, probably.
This is
degrading real
let's
fast.
Let's break all the rules and play Alice in Chains just for this.
Isn't the coxcomb supposed to have certain sexual powers if you eat it?
Maybe that it... I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not even going to try.
Well, talk for a second. I have to
say. Sexual powers.
No, like, the only foods I know that offer vitality like that...
Oysters.
Pethebale.
Or ersters, as I call them.
Ersters. You go to the store to get some ersters.
What if you eat the balls of the...
Yeah. Oh, there's a...
I never did that. You get down with that?
Yeah. Not to get down with it, but one time when I was younger, we went out for a buddy of mine's birthday, and we were at this izakaya, like a Japanese pub, and on the special menu, what do you know? They serve bull penis. And I can't say that I sampled it. I was younger, not quite so adventuresome into eating, you know, other animals' dicks. Can't say I still have done that yet now, but I'd be more open to it, I like to think. But all my friends tried it, and
if someone serves it to me, I'll eat a dick.
Yeah, but like this was like people paying money to eat dick, and I was like, I don't know about that.
Well, we dragged this conversation as low as we possibly could. Let's try to elevate it.
I'll eat a dick. Someone offers it to me.
Right after I have my cock soup.
We went blue so fast.
Yeah. All right, play that music. Blue.
This is, all right, so Saturday, June 6th, at Nola Darling, this guy is playing with his band for the first time, so we should be very excited.
Jesse
Turretz.
Jesse Turretz.
This is called Blue Blue Sea.
Blue Blue Sea.
I hear my friend James said it.
Let's face reality. All this drifts gently. You seem so close to me. Not like it used to be. Always I'll find the need to fall to the blue, blue sea. To fall to the inside your memory.
Jesse Turitz.
Very nice.
Blue Blue Sea. I'll have to ask him what the name of his record is. His record is called Quietus Make, and I don't know what that means. So we'll have to ask him.
Quietus?
Quietus, as in Latin, make, which is...
It probably means like shut up, right?
Well, yeah, maybe...
I think that James is right. It's just like...
Shut Latin, the fuck
but
up.
But make is in Latin. Make is...
It's hip, man.
Yeah.
He's hip, he's cool, he's got the slang, he's got the lingo. Yeah. We have to give a special thanks to the kitchen manager here at Roberta's, who is actually one of my best friends from the Pratt Institute, one of my colleagues in the writing program, Jane Orgel, who sent us what I believe is a heart-shaped pizza. It's a heart, look.
Oh my god, it is indeed a heart.
I'd say that Jane Orgel would go on the short list.
Aww. That's a fucking heart.
She would go on the short list of women I would marry immediately if I had the opportunity.
To confirm the heartness of this pizza. as taken aback he is going to Instagram.
Jack's
going
to take a picture.
This is going on social media.
I got to just say, I've been here, you know, 6 years, and there have been a lot of pizzas sent out for a lot of VIP guests. I've never seen that before.
I'm like about to cry. I'm truly moved. I'm truly moved. Beautiful.
So for everyone listening to this on the radio, Jack Inslee is now taking a photo of our pizza. There we go.
We're okay. Having a real good time here today. Yeah. Let's tell you that. All right, so I'm going to play a tune. As it turns out, there's three of us here, so it's my turn. So this is like, it's from the Minor Problems EP, Mama Coco's release. But this is, this song was recorded as like a punk song at breakneck speed. However, at a Brooklyn Wet band practice, I said, let's try doing this in the style of Honky Tonk Women by the Rolling Stones. So I'm going to give this a sort of, give this version a try here on the radio. And if it sucks, then, you know, just blame me directly. Not my Brooklyn Wet bandmates. Can't stay off my phone. Nobody ever leaves me alone. People wait outside my home. Can't you see that I'm blowing up? Paparazzi hides in my bed. Camera flashing, repeating in my head. Think they all want me dead. Can't you see that I'm blowing up? I'm blowing up, blowing up. Can't you see that I'm blowing up, blowing up? Can't you see that I'm blowing up, blowing up? My head's about to explode. Nobody knows the real me. My mom and dad get stopped on the street. I get paid just for showing up. Can't you see that I'm blowing up? Got me stuck here by the bowels, deep inside these four walls, well, anticipating my fall. Can't you see that I'm blowing up? Can't you see that I'm blowing up, blowing up? Can't you see that I'm blowing up, blowing up? Can't you see that I'm blowing up, blowing up? My head's about to explode.
Program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.